Climate justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Climate justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Climate justice!
Now!
This is Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal for October 10th, 2019. Today we hear the audio from the September 20th climate strike in Bar Harbor, one of many Maine towns participating in the global climate strike. Earlier that week, Mount Desert Island High School became the first Maine school to convert completely to solar energy, producing more electricity than its yearly need from over 1,400 solar panels mounted on its facility rooftops. On Saturday, September 20th, students from MDI High School and College of the Atlantic, a Bar Harbor institution focused on human ecology, rallied at the Bar Harbor Green in force with youth around the world. Speakers included Mariana Arias Lopez, a COA student from Bolivia, local House Representative Brian Hubble, a representative from Jared Golden's office, and a number of MDI High School and College of the Atlantic students presenting 7 demands for climate action. They intend to present the demands at the Bar Harbor Town Council's November meeting, requesting the town declare a climate emergency. We begin with introductions by Anya Wright, Katrine Oesterby, and Hunter Bischoff.
Thank you for being here today! So this strike, as many of you know, is in solidarity with hundreds and thousands going on around the world today. There are, I think, 8,000 strikes going on, 500 in the U.S., 8 in Maine, and hundreds and thousands and millions of people all over the world today are standing up and striking for climate action. So thank you so much for being here and taking the time out of your day to be here and call for action. And thank you to the Earth Singers from Blue Hill for starting us off with some lovely songs. We have a box over there if you want to write a note to Bar Harbor Town Council. We'll be delivering it at the next town council meeting if you want to tell them what we want. We want to thank you for being here today because we know that you're striking for the climate because we're in a climate crisis, but you know that, and that's why you're here today. So we want to thank you for supporting us and for supporting each other. Woo!
First and foremost, I think it's important that we recognize we are in the homeland of the Wabanaki, the people of the Dawn. We send our respect and gratitude to the many indigenous people and their ancestors whose rich history and vibrant communities include the Abenaki, Maliseet, Mi'kmaq, Passamaquoddy, and Penobscot nations, and all of the native communities who have lived here for thousands of generations in what is now known today as Maine, New England, and the Canadian Maritimes. We make this acknowledgement aware of continual violations of water, territorial rights, and sacred sites in the Wabanaki homeland.
Thanks, Hunter. And now I'm going to invite Mariana to come up and speak a little bit about her experience.
I'm going to be reading something because I wanted to make sure that I don't forget to mention anything. My name is Mariana, and I am from Bolivia. I was home this summer, and it was incredibly hard. I believe, and I hope, most of you know that the Amazon rainforest is on fire right now. Bolivia, Brazil, and Paraguay have been affected. In Bolivia, the forest has been burning nonstop for the last 59 days. It hurts to watch your home burning. The flora being consumed so helplessly and the animals trying to escape. Most of them have died trying. But it hurts even more to understand the politics and the economics behind this fire that could have been controlled a while ago. During these 59 days, almost 3 million hectares have burned to ashes. That is about 7.5 acres, about 60 times the area of New York City. I don't think it's possible for us to even imagine the biodiversity we're losing. So many species have lost their homes, and so many species have gone extinct. Some that we will never know of. The fire is affecting national parks and protected areas where various indigenous groups live in voluntary isolation. It is hard to talk about the impacts of this fire yet, regardless of the fact that we lost unexplored territory. It has not stopped yet, and most of the efforts are going to control the fire. Later, there will be decades of work to try to understand the impact and loss. Regardless of all of this, there seems to be a lack of urgency and media coverage. Maybe because Bolivia is one of the poorest countries in Latin America, and Latin America is one of the poorest regions in the world. But this is not just a forest fire. It is the Amazon burning every second for the last 2 months. Do I need to talk about the importance of the Amazon? The Bolivian government and the world seem to have forgotten it. If the Bolivian government does not declare a national emergency, no foreign aid can get into the country. If there is not enough media coverage, the world won't know what we're losing. And if we don't act now, it won't be needed later. Who gets to decide what is an emergency? What kind of priorities do we have right now? As individuals? As part of a movement? As activists? Why are these our priorities? I believe all of us have a duty to act upon this. It is our planet. The effects of this fire and the CO2 emissions that are a product of this fire will be felt soon, everywhere. We should not just be fighting for the future of our youth. It is also the presence of youth across the world in less privileged areas. If anybody here wants to talk more about the fire, ways to help, or the kind of work I've been doing, please reach out. I guess it's what I can do while being here. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Sophie Dowling from MDI High School, and I've lived in Maine on Great Cranberry Island for all 17 years of my life so far. And I got to grow up in a community that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. It's tiny and it's close-knit, sometimes uncomfortably so, and we're definitely fixed in our ways. But I grew up in a place that is fading quickly. My beautiful home, my habitat, the adventures and beauty and scenery that was offered to me growing up on an island in Maine are being stripped from me, and I am outraged. No one is doing anything except for the children. And the children don't have enough voice, just us. We're too young, people don't listen. We clearly don't know what's going on. So we need to all band together to be big enough to be heard and to demand climate justice.
I'd like to invite Matilda from MDI High School.
Hi, my name's Matilda, and I live on MDI and go to MDI High School. I have been observing and becoming increasingly worried and angry about what is happening to our home. Many people turned a blind eye to the climate crisis, despite all the signs that surround us. They dismiss what is happening to our planet as a hoax or something that will not affect them. It is not hard to see what is happening on MDI or the world if you care to look. Think of the plastic washing up on our beaches or the warming oceans causing native wildlife to flee. It is plain that the coming effects of climate change will hit us hard unless we do something drastic. Our system is built only for continued rapid economic growth at the expense of the environment. It is not possible for this to continue forever. It is true we need extreme system change now, but we can't forget that we can all take actions as individuals to aid the fight against climate change. That, paired with our continued resistance, will produce the change we seek.
You are listening to Radioactive on WERU Community Radio. Today we're hearing audio from the September 20th climate strike in Bar Harbor, one of many Maine towns participating in the global climate strike. Youth from MDI High School and College of the Atlantic presented 7 demands for climate action. They intend to bring the demands to the Bar Harbor Town Council's November meeting, requesting the town declare a climate emergency. The speakers to follow are... excuse the pronunciations, Laura Berry and Anya Wright from the College of the Atlantic, Lilo Gordon Fox, College of the Atlantic student from the United Kingdom, Sage Verrier-Leafsong, a College of the Atlantic student from Maine, Sarohi Kumar, MDI high school student, Hunter Bischoff from the College of the Atlantic, Philippe Andres Fontesilla Gutierrez, College of the Atlantic student from Chile, Morgan Saint-Cyr, College of the Atlantic student from Quebec, Sophie Dowling, MDI high school student, Tina Drupa, College of the Atlantic student from Latvia, Emma Strivi, from the College of the Atlantic, Mafe Fernanda Farias Briceño, a College of the Atlantic student from Mexico, Katarine Osterby, COA student from Denmark, and Thomas Korstinje, a high school intern with the MDI nonprofit initiative, A Climate to Thrive.
All right, so as the youth of Bar Harbor, COA students and MDI students have come up with a list of 7 demands that we have for Congress and Maine and Bar Harbor, so we're going to read them to you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Laura Berry. I am still a youth. I'm 24 years old. I have been working as a climate activist for the past 10 years. And I'm really angry to still be here. Our first demand as the youth of Bar Harbor, MDI, the United States, and the world. It is time to tell the truth. We are in a climate emergency. This summer, there have been headlines full of disaster after disaster across the world, from the Amazon rainforest to Hurricane Dorian demolishing parts of the Bahamas to the water crisis in Chennai earlier this summer. This is one of the hottest years on record, and the past 5 years have been the hottest years on record. This is an emergency situation. We cannot deny this anymore. We are at, already, on average, 1 degree of warming. This is not a safe temperature. 1.5 degrees is not going to be any safer than the warming we're already experiencing. It's ridiculous. And we are demanding that governments across the world, from the local to the global, adopt an emergency response to climate change and the ecological crisis. Over 1,000 governments have already done this. Why have we not done this here? We know that this is an existential threat to our residents, to our infrastructure, to our society as a whole, and we demand that our government representatives recognize the threat that it poses to us, our futures, and our present.
As the youth of MDI, we call on Congress, our state government, and the 4 local towns of MDI to recognize the emergency situation we face, declare a climate emergency, and begin mobilizing all of the resources we have to address this existential crisis. Woo! and we demand that the scope of the response meet the ecological reality we face. We must rapidly transition to a fossil-free society, decarbonize our economy by 2030, protect and restore natural ecosystems, forests, wetlands, and soils, in support of natural carbon sequestration. We must ensure a just transition for those most affected by the causes and impacts of the climate emergency. We must face this emergency together. Cities and local governments have historically been the spark for progress, from minimum wage to civil rights. Local wins inspire other communities to follow and build a mandate for the national mobilization we need. We will be taking our demands to the next town council meeting to demand that Bar Harbor declare a climate emergency and take our other demands into consideration.
This is our second demand for you all.
To recognize that the U.S. has a historic responsibility in addressing climate change. So, if we think about the atmosphere as a giant bathtub of emissions, the U.S. and other Western countries have filled it almost to the brim with greenhouse gases, while the rest of the world has hardly added a few drops. The richest countries, despite having only one-fifth of the global population, are responsible for around four-fifths of historic carbon emissions. Yet it is the nations that have not historically contributed to this bathtub of emissions that are facing the majority of climate violence now, as hurricanes, tsunamis, droughts, or wildfires are destroying homes around the world. If we assign responsibility for this violence, the U.S. carries 40% of emissions debt. The greatest injustice of the climate crisis is that those that are least responsible for it are the hardest hit. Any real solution to the climate crisis requires that the U.S. acknowledges their climate debt. We demand that the U.S. government not just take action domestically, but that they also support other countries and people as they adapt to the climate crisis. This support will require the flow of finances, the first concrete step of which would be for the U.S. government to rejoin the Paris Agreement and to step up to their initial pledge, which they made in 2014, of $3 billion to the Green Climate Fund, which is an international pool of wealth to help countries around the world adapt to climate change. Just so you know, they haven't even paid a third of this number yet, and they no longer are part of the Paris Agreement. So, of course, we can't stop here. These agreements are not enough, and the U.S. must go above and beyond these numbers. And of course, it's not just about finance. There's people who are already feeling the direct impacts of climate change in their communities as we stand here in our own safety. We believe that one of the most important actions the U.S. must take to address its historic responsibilities for causing climate change is to open their borders and to create clear paths of migration for all climate refugees that have been displaced due to our reckless actions here. So let's say it together. Recognize historic responsibility. Recognize historic responsibility.
So this is not a demand, but if you are very hot right now or need a restroom, MDI ice cream, if you bring your water bottle, they'll give you some water because it's very hot. And there are bathrooms right up here, just so you get what you need. Yeah.
Our government and politicians have known about the threats of climate change long before I was born, and our representatives can no longer operate business as usual. We demand that our elected officials take action to address the climate crisis now. Our planet and our futures depend on it. The U.S. government must take action to pass new, radical, green legislation, like a Green New Deal, that is based on current climate science and that will ensure a just and sustainable future for all. Our government can no longer ignore the climate crisis. It is here and it is now, and we demand that our votes count in the fight against climate change.
Our fourth demand: address social injustice intensified by climate change. Climate change inherently intensifies social injustices that already exist in our world. Today, a Guatemalan family must make the choice between migration and starvation. There are children detained at the Mexican-US border that are in part there because of the increasingly frequent droughts and crop failures that are brought on by climate change. Some of us in the climate movement have made the analogy that this climate crisis is like the Titanic, that we're all headed towards disaster and there's nothing we can do about it. But if that's true, then we here in Maine are on the top deck, sipping martinis, living off the privilege and wealth that has gotten us here. Meanwhile, the people in marginalized communities and poor countries are trapped in the hole as the water is rising, and we have locked the doors to their escape. We have a moral and ethical responsibility to help those communities out of the hole, whether it be children at our border, the indigenous people here in Maine, or families struggling in our communities here on MDI. Yes. We have hit the iceberg, and we are all sinking together. The ones who are able to isolate themselves from this crisis are the ones most responsible. We need to build enough lifeboats so we can all survive this disaster. We have a responsibility to hold the people and groups who have steered humanity towards this crisis accountable. We did not get here by small missteps, but by powerful government and corporate forces that have worked for the economic benefit of the privileged few. This is true of local issues like cruise ships, affordable housing, and the rights of summer migrant workers. We need an equitable transition towards solutions that have justice for all at their core. We demand to live within a society that is governed by the people, for the people, each and every one of us.
So for the fifth demand, in order for substantial and meaningful change to be made, we need to incorporate all voices in decision making. We cannot let the voices of oppressed or marginalized communities be silenced by society, the government, and corporations anymore. As we've said on and on today, the climate emergency is here and now. We need to listen to the voices of those who are already experiencing it. They have too often been excluded from the decision-making process, which in the end directly impacts them. As such, we stand here today to demand for the creation of inclusive spaces for all in decision making. But it's not only no longer sufficient to listen to their voices, we must also create the space for those voices not only to be heard, but for them to take action in decision making taken by the United States in regards to climate change.
These silenced communities are not only in the far reaches of the globe, they are right here in our country too. It is our job as the people with the voice to empower other voices and emphasize education in our schools in order to prepare for the climate crisis. We must give everyone, ourselves, future generations, and the marginalized communities the tools to deal with this crisis and the fair space to use them.
Our sixth demand is to implement real solutions.
The fight for climate justice is not only about cutting carbon emissions and other greenhouse gases. It is also about the fundamental transformations of the systems that govern and underpin our lives. We are calling for real solutions that drive these transformations, solutions like divesting from fossil fuels, investing in agroecology and renewable energies, and equal opportunities for participation in legislative decision making.
I think that if you are here, you are also frustrated that regardless of how many individual actions you take, it's never enough. It's never enough to just say no to straws if there's many straws that are being produced. It's never enough to just cycle to school if there's a lot of cars that are still being produced. We demand solutions that take away the focus of individual actions and focus on top-down policymaking that address real areas like fossil fuel extractions and also the consumption, water contamination, deforestation, among others. Research and innovation will create the real solutions for tomorrow. We are calling for the political and financial support that this requires. Don't give the impression that action is being taken. Please, let's make it together.
Let's call it together. Implement real solutions.
Implement real solutions.
So this is demand number seven, which is our last demand today. Thank you for sticking through the first six ones. So our last demand number seven, is to elevate the voices and work of those most affected by climate change. Here we mean the youth, we mean minority groups, and we mean the people already experiencing climate change. Please support them and help them be heard. Stand with them and let yourself be heard. The thing is, very soon, Thomas and I, and all of you right here, will experience the detrimental effects of climate change too. But we know that you know that. That's why you're here today. You support us and we support you, and together we're part of a global movement. We thank you for that.
Our islands, our communities, have done so well to lift the voices, to let everybody talk. You've let us speak, members of the youth, from the elementary schools, from the high school, from the COA. You've spoken to each other, sharing ideas and initiatives, normalizing the conversations that we need to be having. You've spoken to your government and your administrators, letting your representatives, your senators, your principals know that this is what we need to focus on. This is something that we cannot talk about later. You've talked to groups like A Climate to Thrive and supported and aided their mission for energy independence. You've talked to yourself. You've strived to educate yourselves, motivate yourselves, and help empower others. Whether you've talked about one thing or everything, you've talked. So be proud of that. And be proud of our schools and our administrators and our local government and our communities. They're all talking and they're all doing. They're examples of strength, willpower, and perseverance. This isn't easy to talk about, but they're doing it anyway. They're working on change. They're pushing and we're pushing. What all of you have done is amazing.
So thank you. We recognize your effort. We recognize your efforts. You came here today, and you're not alone. You're with people all over the world striking today. You're with, whether you're from Bar Harbor, from MDI, from somewhere across the Atlantic Ocean like me. You strike for Bar Harbor today, you strike for MDI today, and you strike with the rest of the world. Thank you.
And you've been listening to Radioactive on WERU Community Radio. We will continue to follow this issue, including the upcoming Bar Harbor Council meeting in November, and listen for a call-in special on climate action. You can listen to archives of this and other locally produced programming at weru.org.